Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com. I'm calling in live this week from Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. And I'm pretty sure that my co-host, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady herself, will be along. I'm not seeing her in my control panel, so hopefully Rhonda will show up in just a few minutes. And we have got a great guest that I've been looking forward to speaking with today. Our guest today is Denise Wakeman, the number one best-selling co-author of Trust Your Heart, Transform Your Ideas into Income. Denise has a wealth of knowledge in arenas such as branding, business, blogging, boosting your online presence, and relationship building using the power of the Internet. Today, Denise is going to share with you how marketing trends affect your business. You can find Denise at Denise Wakeman, that's W-A-K-E-M-A-N, Denise Wakeman, .com. And welcome to Relationship Marketing, Denise.
Thank you, Gina. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I've been looking forward to meeting you. You haven't heard from Miss Rhonda today, have you?
I have not.
Well, I will see if I can't track her down and figure out where she's at and get her to join us as well. So tell me a little bit about Trust Your Heart, Transform Your Ideas into Income.
Well, the book is actually the brainchild of Marnie Pearson at ideamarketers.com, and it was a book that's a collection of 19 stories from 19 entrepreneurs, and she invited me to contribute a chapter to the book, and it's basically about the focus was on, you know, overcoming or what we needed to do to become successful entrepreneurs. So what processes, what course did our businesses take, and how we made it happen, basically, how we transformed our, you know, ideas for a business or a product or whatever, really, it could have been anything, how we transformed that into viable income-producing business.
Gotcha. So tell me how you did that.
Well, you got to read the book. No.
I thought you were going to say that, Denise.
Well, you know, I guess I'm too predictable. Well, you know, it's a long story, but essentially, you know, I took a leap of faith. I had been working for a long time in jobs, and back in 1995, I met a man, I fell in love, and we moved to Canada from Los Angeles, and we decided to start a business. He was a business coach, and I had never been an entrepreneur, I'd never worked for myself, but we really just took a big leap of faith, and, you know, if I'd listened to my head versus my heart, probably wouldn't have happened. But, you know, a lot of it had to do with really just being focused and having a belief that it could be done. And we were in a very challenging situation in that we lived in rural Ontario, Canada. And at the time, coaching was a new field, 1995, 96. And
yeah.
I guess it's 1996. And so we had a big education curve that we had to overcome because for most people in that area where we were, coaching meant hockey, not business.
Yeah, right.
So that was a big thing. And we were also in a very remote area, and we had one dial-up phone line for
the
internet.
Oh, my goodness.
So we would, negotiate back and forth who was going to get the phone line. And I just dove into the internet and really I started doing a lot of research and following the people who were out there on the cutting edge of the coaching industry and modeling what they were doing and taking teleclasses. I mean, that teleclasses, teleseminars really started in 1997 and jumped on that trend really fast because it really served us being in a remote area. So those were some of the things that, you know, it was just really about having an intense belief that we could do it and having to do it because we didn't have a lot of money. You know, it was kind of like, oh, let's go do this. And, oh, well, do you have any money? No. Do you? Well, not really. Not a lot. But, you know, hey, we can do it anyway. And, you know, really going for it and learning what other people were doing, applying that to the model we wanted to create, and continually tweaking and learning. I mean, it was a never-ending learning process.
That makes a lot of sense. And here you are today.
And here I am today.
That's fantastic. And I imagine that relationships have played a big role in helping you grow your business. Is that a good thing to say?
That's accurate. I think that relationships are pretty essential to just about anything you do in your life. It's hard to go it alone. Certainly, you know, there was my primary relationship with my then husband. We're not together anymore, but, you know, there was that relationship that had to be very solid in order to work together and create something together. And then tapping into the other people that we needed to learn from and could be mentored by. And then, of course, the relationships that you build with your clients and customers too. So, you know, all of that, you know, gets added to the mix and really helps propel a business forward. It certainly helped propel my business forward because then when things shifted for me about 6 years later, I moved back to Los Angeles and I had to start all over again. And
oh, wow.
So I had, but those prior 6 years had helped me build up a lot of relationships with people in various industries, and I had been able to demonstrate what I could do from my previous business, and so that I could bring that to the table and start building new connections, new relationships based on previous experience, and that really made a difference.
I imagine it would. And I have to ask, looking at DeniseWakeman.com,
mm-hmm.
have you been a part of Kevin Nation's coaching program in the past?
I did a little bit of work with Kevin a few years ago.
Oh, I had a feeling. Looking at the About page on your site and
mm-hmm.
seeing the option for signing up for a strategy session, Kevin's
mm-hmm.
someone that I call a mentor also.
Oh, good.
And that's typical Kevin Nation style.
Well, there's a lot of people who advocate that method as well. But, yes, Kevin is definitely one of those people, too.
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit about the Blog Squad. That's what I know you best for.
Well, the Blog Squad got started in 2005. I started blogging in 2004, using a blog as a business tool. I was working with a client at the time on her online marketing because that's what my expertise evolved into because I had built, you know, a coaching business using the web almost exclusively. So, and I really loved doing that. So I was working with a client with her online marketing, and she sent me an email one day and said, oh, I just started a blog. And I thought, oh, great. Okay. I better start a blog too because I know she'll have questions about it. And I was familiar with blogs in terms of the political environment because in 2004, that's during that presidential campaign, the primary elections, a candidate, Howard Dean, was really the first to use online marketing techniques for a presidential campaign, and his campaign used blogs. So I was familiar with them, but I hadn't really thought about them as a business tool.
Uh-huh.
And when I set up a blog so that I could help my client, it was almost, you know, like the cartoon where the light bulb goes off or on, actually.
Yep.
It was like, oh my gosh, this is one of the best things I've ever discovered. because it really leveled the playing field. It allowed anybody to get a website on the web and start publishing content, you know, within 10 minutes. You know, I mean, that's the fastest you could do it. It may not look the best, but you could do it, you know. And I just thought, this is it. This is a game changer. And I just dove in and I started figuring out everything I could possibly figure out about blogging. And then that client and I partnered up for a little while and we became known as the Blog Squad. We've since parted company because we wanted to pursue other things. But I really became quite an evangelist for blogging as a marketing tool. I think it's one of the most powerful tools that any business, service professional, author, speaker, coach, consultant can use to get their message out on the web. I mean, it is the most powerful tool. We've got other tools like social media, and those are all very important, but the blog really is the central hub. So I've really been singing that song for a very long time, and it's what I've become known for.
Yeah, I can't agree with that more. I mean, it is the heart and soul of any business
mm-hmm.
if they're doing it the right way.
Yeah.
I mean, it can tie into other forms of social media and marketing, but without it, you don't have an easy way of really tying everything you're doing online together.
Exactly.
And that's one of the reasons I love blogs so much, is it does make it much easier for someone to use the power of the internet to grow their business.
Right.
You don't need to have 10 gazillion sites on all these different places with all these different domain names. You can use one blog and tie everything together pretty easily.
Exactly. And it really is the easiest way to get found on the web. And
oh, my goodness, it sure is.
It's about building, you know, it's about owning your own piece of virtual real estate, because that's the one piece that you own and control versus Facebook, where you're subject to their terms and conditions. Twitter, you're subject to their terms and conditions. And these you know, social networks, they're changing all the time. And they can kick you off and you don't know why. You know, so you really want to have your own central hub where you drive all that social traffic. So you build, you have the chats, the chit chats, and you connect with people like at a cocktail party, maybe, you know, on these social networks, but you drive them back home to your central hub. And that's the way I look at it.
And the one thing I love about blogs is that using a blog the right way, your blog becomes a traffic director for you.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you've got 5 or 6 different products. You got a book, you got a couple info products, you got a coaching program. Through the blog, your blog can direct people out to which of the 5 to 6 things serves them best.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of you having to send traffic to site number 1 and site number 2 and site number 3 and figure out which site to send people to today, you send them to one place and that place funnels them off to the pieces that make the most sense for each person.
That's
and you
right.
can't get that kind of leverage with any other tool online today. It just doesn't exist in any other way.
No, it becomes more fragmented.
Absolutely. And I see in a number of places that you talk about the concept of leverage, which is a big topic for me, too. One of my students calls me Leveragina because I do talk about leverage so much. And
mm-hmm.
blogs, to me, are a leveraging tool. And they're also a relationship-building tool at the same time.
Absolutely. I mean, it's really one of the ways to get the deepest connection with your audience or your community or your tribe, whatever you want to call them. And, you know, and they're really, you could argue that they were one of the early social media tools. I mean, there were forums, discussion forums for a long time, you know, on the web way before blogs. But blogs did start, you know, like 12 years ago or more were the first blogs. So, you know, they're not a new entity, but they really brought the power of connection and conversation to everybody. So,
yeah.
You know, having that ability to have the conversation through the commenting, I mean, that really is what differentiated a blog really fast from a standard website.
Mm-hmm. So for someone who has a business that's just getting started online, what do you suggest that someone do?
Start a blog.
Obviously, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the fastest way to get online right now fast is that you set up a blog. And then you can develop out from there. So a lot of people think, oh, I have to set up a website, and that means, you know, the about page and my products and services. But I actually recommend going, you know, slightly differently and setting up the blog and start publishing content that is going to attract people to your business first. So start building those relationships, and then you can worry about adding on the product page and the other information that you need about your business, your press page and all of that stuff, because you can now build an integrated site, a site. You don't have to have a separate blog and separate website. They can all be built into one. So
exactly.
I advocate starting that blog, start having those conversations. Of course, there's a lot of steps into setting up a blog, and I don't necessarily want to make this like how to set up your blog conversation, but you know, you do need to be quite clear on why you want to be online first of all. And of course, I think every business should be online because it's the only way to get found nowadays. I mean, I don't know anybody who uses the yellow pages anymore. So you need an online presence. So you set up a blog and, you know, have a strategy. You know, why do you want this? Do you want it to establish yourself as a thought leader? Do you want it to, you know, be a lead generator? Do you want it to, for an author, for example, they may be using a blog solely to get the word out about their new book and to launch a book and to build a community around the topic of their book. You know, so and I do advocate that it should be very focused. So what is like the most, your most critical piece of your business that you want to get out there to the world? And then, you know, really plot out an editorial calendar of how you're going to cover that content over time. Because, you know, we do have to be honest here, a blog takes commitment, time. And it's constant. You don't just write 10 blog posts and that's the end of it.
Right. Yeah, I couldn't agree with that more either. And, you know, your blog can do a lot of different things for you. All of the things you just mentioned can be done on a blog, even one that does all of them at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But you really have to guide your prospects through the process you want them to go through.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they're not going to be seeing all those ads down the sidebar that send them off in 28 gazillion directions.
Mm-hmm.
They're never going to do any of those things unless you guide them through the process that you want them to follow one step at a time.
Right. Well, and that's all in needs to be built into the strategy behind the blog. And, you know, certainly things have become a little bit more complex now. I mean, anybody can set up a blog on WordPress in 10 minutes, but you do have to put some strategic thinking behind it. And, you know, there's a lot of resources to help you do that, from ebooks to consultants. And I think that's worth taking the time and energy to do that, to think it through first, instead of just some hodgepodge, haphazard, you know, way of or just spreading your content out there that makes no sense.
Right. I even suggest to my students that they flowchart what they want to see happen. What is the process and the path you want someone to take? draw it out in a flowchart way. I use a tool called DAA that can develop some really great flowcharts really easily for you. And the minute you get it down on paper and you can start putting boxes in representing the places you want people to go, and you can start drawing arrows between those boxes, if you've got boxes out there that don't have arrows that are the path someone's going to take, well, no one's ever going to find those extra boxes. So either get rid of them or find a way to build them into the flow that is the process you want them to go.
Right.
And too often you see people online who put the blog up because they think that's what they're supposed to do, but they rarely get around to thinking about where the money's going to come from.
Right.
So they start writing article after article after boring article that really doesn't have the money piece tied in well. They expect that people will see all the ads down their sidebar and that that will be the thing that makes the money in the end. But it doesn't really work that way, does it?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't work that way at all. You really have to have very clear and concise calls to action within your content.
Yeah, you really do.
Every blog post ideally should have some form of call to action. And it may be that you're not trying to sell anything or even, you know, get a lead, but maybe you want somebody to make a comment. Maybe you're just trying to build your community at the outset, so you want to create engagement before you start saying, hey, you know, sign up for a strategy session or something. So that's the call to action is persuading your reader to begin engaging with you. So one way or another, there has to be some sort of call to action.
Yeah, one of the things I saw you do recently was a contest around the new book. And through that contest, you guided people into leaving a comment. That's a great way to do things because it really does spur that engagement.
Yes. Well, you know, and that there's a lot of levels on that too. You know, not only am I trying to, you know, my goal was to, you know, one, build awareness for the book and support for the publisher, Marnie Pearson, who's a good friend and colleague of mine. And, I mean, I'm an author in the book, but, you know, it's a bigger vision for the book. So I wanted to you know, be participating in that and help her out. So there were a number of things that I did. I did an interview with Marnie that was free and open to everyone. So, again, that was a call to action. Sign up to listen to the interview with Marnie. Nothing was being pitched. It was straight free, you know. So that was a way to build a relationship and community to help expose people to the book and to Marnie and to the ideas and how she did it. Because a big thing for me is building a visible presence on the web. I mean, a blog is just one tool for that. You need to have a much wider presence on the web beyond the blog and then pull everybody back to the blog. So, you know, what Marnie did for her launch for Trust Your Heart was quite, there were some unique aspects to it, and she used social media very well. So I wanted to bring that, those ideas to my audience. So there were a lot of levels. So how else could I build a buzz? Well, I bought a bunch of the books because I like to give away books to my clients and to people who read my blog. So how do I give that? I could just, you know, draw a name out of the hat and send them a book. But instead, how do I get people talking about it? And, you know, that's where the contest came in, you know, and, you know, that worked well. I've done that in the past, too. And it's fun because you get to hear about what people are doing, and it builds content on the blog, you know, with each comment. It lets me know who's out there so I can connect with them and respond to them. And then I get to give away some, you know, something and make somebody really happy when they get the book in the mail.
Exactly. Yeah, lots of different levels to it, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And I get to milk it, you know, in terms of, you know, I don't know if that's the best word, but, you know, for 2 weeks or so, a lot of my activity was all around the interview contest and the blog. So, you know, there was a lot of visibility on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn around it. So it really built a lot of awareness for the book, for Marnie, for me, you know, et cetera.
So let's talk about how the blog fits into the bigger social media puzzle and how that works. So you're going out to Facebook and you're doing stuff on Facebook and Twitter, but it's bringing people back to the blog. What are you doing out there?
Well, in terms of connecting everything, all of my blog content is syndicated to all my social networks. Because, you know, some people love to hang out on LinkedIn, some prefer Facebook, and, you know, with nearly 600 million people on Facebook, you can't really ignore that. You know, Twitter, a lot of people are on Twitter. So the first thing I do is I make sure all my content is syndicated to those sites. And so it's automatically being sent to it. With the exception of Facebook, I no longer do automatic syndication on Facebook.
Oh, that's interesting. Why not?
Because it doesn't get seen.
Mm.
Facebook, they have a very complex algorithm as to what shows up in the news feed, and 98% of all content is viewed through the news feed. People, once they like your business page, for example, that's probably the only time they're ever going to be on your page. After that, the only time they see your content is in their news feed. And think about your own view habits on Facebook. How often do you go to somebody's page?
Not very often.
Right. You're looking at whatever's coming at you in the news feed.
Yeah.
And in order for your content to be in the news feed, it has to show up. And they have very, very complicated algorithms that nobody knows or understands. However, there are some things that have been revealed. And one of those is that content being syndicated via third-party applications like Twitter feed or like a plugin from WordPress, those are third-party applications, and they do not have as much weight as a link that's posted manually.
Ah, interesting.
So if you want your fans to see your to have some chance of seeing your content so that you get engagement, because then the second piece of that equation is that they need to like and comment on your content in order to keep seeing it.
Uh-huh.
So people, you know, I have close to 7,000 fans on my Facebook page, but there's not all of them see my content because they're not engaging with it. So the more you engage with it, the more you're going to see the content. So You really have to, I mean, Facebook is an animal that needs a lot of attention if you really want it to work. Otherwise, you're really just wasting your time. So I no longer syndicate my content. I always manually post my blog URLs, and I try to write, you know, something that will entice people to at least look at it and see it and then to click on the link and go back to my blog. Or comment and like it on Facebook. You know, I don't really, a lot of people say, well, you know, if they comment on Facebook, that means they're not going to my blog. Well, I'm just happy to have them engaged somewhere. So,
yeah.
You know, that's really my goal, is to get some engagement somewhere. So, so that's, you know, my Facebook strategy. I've tested network blogs and social RSS and RSS graffiti. And those are all third-party applications that pull your blog feed onto your blog. And I stopped using them to post on my wall for the reasons I just mentioned, because they didn't get any – I noticed the engagement drop dramatically. But I still use – I think I use social RSS. I still use social RSS – to pull my feed, it's just not posted on my wall because it is still indexed then by the search engines, and that's important.
And where does that show up then in Facebook?
In Facebook, it shows up on the side tabs.
Oh, gotcha.
So
okay.
Not that anybody ever probably looks at those, but it's being pulled in, and then there's a link from Facebook back to my blog, and the content that is there does get indexed. So
right.
On the little wall links on the left-hand side. You know, I have a little thing that says latest blog post, so anybody could click on that and see my latest blog posts if they missed them on the wall.
Gotcha. And that really is a good thing to do, because your goal in search engine stuff isn't ever to get a number one listing in Google or Yahoo or whatever search engine you're targeting. It's really to get what I call a domination effect in the search engine, meaning that when someone searches for the keyword that you're optimizing for, you don't want a number one listing. You want half or more of the first 50 listings to somehow point back to you.
Right.
Someone
has many links.
Your blog. Yeah. Some will point to your blog. Some will point to your posts on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Some to other things that you're doing. You want as many of those links to mention you as you can, because people really consider the search engine listings to be recommendations from the search engine.
That's right.
So if they start going down the search results and they're seeing Denise is here and Denise is there and Denise is over there, by the time they get through a few pages of results, they're thinking that Google sees you as the biggest expert on this topic in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they will go out and find your website if they have to, but they want whatever you've got because Google thinks so highly of you.
That's right, and that's part of what I call building massive visibility, because you need to be wherever people are searching for you, and you want to make sure that everything that people find is a positive link back to you.
Yeah. So how do you know where people are looking for what you have to offer?
Well, you can ask them. You know, people neglect this quite frequently, but surveying your audience is a good way to find out where they're hanging out. And there's so many great tools to do that. If you've built any kind of list, you know, you send them a question on email, or set up a survey on SurveyMonkey, or do a one-question poll. I love one-question polls. I like.
And now Facebook has a way for you to do that easily.
Exactly. They have their question and poll feature. And I like Poll Daddy, and I'll just do a one-question poll, like what's your favorite social network or something like that. And, you know, that'll give me a good sense of what people are paying attention to, where they're hanging out. And then, of course, if you're in a real niche market, I mean, I'm in a pretty big market of online marketing, so
right.
I know where people are hanging out. They're hanging out on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. But if you're in a niche market, you know, you're a dog groomer or something, you know, then you start doing research. One, you can ask. So you use Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook to find out, you know, well, if you're a dog trainer, where do you, you know, what publications do you read? What sites do you like the best, et cetera? But you can also do research and just put in like dog training or dog grooming plus social network, and there's probably niche networks out there that people are hanging out on.
Yeah, and, you know, the more focused the niche, the more likely that there are forums and social networks and other places that people are out there hanging out.
That's correct.
I have students that are in really narrow little niches. I mean, I had one student a couple of years ago, his whole niche was based around dog relaxation.
Oh,
and
wow.
Oh my goodness, talk about a tiny little niche.
Mm-hmm.
And he really wanted dog relaxation for specific breeds to make it even more focused. And boy, it was so much easier to really find the people interested in dog relaxation than it is to find internet marketers who can be literally anywhere on the internet. There was only one or two key places that the people were hanging out. He didn't have to go search through the millions and hundreds of millions on, like, Facebook or Twitter to reach his people. He'd go to one place, and that's where they all were.
Right, right. Well, and Facebook is making that a little easier with their Facebook ads.
Okay.
Now, I am not a Facebook ad ninja by any stretch of the imagination. I'm still figuring it out myself, but you can really drill down when you set up an ad on Facebook. You can really pick
your
demographics
really
and what people are into. You can even target your competitors and that sort of thing, so that your ad shows up for your when your people are on your competitors' page. So you can really drill down. If you've got the time and energy and the money to do some experimentation, I think that Facebook ads will be a very good tool for a lot of people.
Yeah, and they will cost you a fraction of what you would spend on, say,
yes,
Google for pay-per-click.
Yes, yeah.
So costs less, and you reach the right people, not just anybody.
Exactly.
What a great idea.
Yeah, exactly.
So what else should people be doing to expand their online visibility?
Well, I'm a big advocate for repurposing content. I
love that idea.
Yeah,
again, leverage, right?
Yes, exactly, because there's only so many hours in the day. And, if you write, like a really great article or blog post and you publish it, let's say, on your blog, well, only, so many people are going to see it. Yes, it'll be indexed by the search engines, but that doesn't mean it's going to have its widest reach. So, how many different ways can you get that content out there? And, there are many, many ways. Typically, I advise, recording it as an audio and doing a podcast or doing a video. It could be, do a talking head or a PowerPoint video. Those are two ways that I like to repurpose. If you're doing a blog post, you can tweak it and put it on article directories. And another thing that I really love to do, especially to repurpose, say, teleseminars, always transcribe and then do an edit and post it on Kindle, post it on Amazon for the Kindle. Sell it for 99 cents. I've done that a few times. And today, as a matter of fact, I'm hosting a teleseminar with Daniel Hall, and he's going to train how to publish your content for the Barnes & Noble Nook e-reader.
I definitely need to be on that. When is that call coming up?
That's at 1 p.m. Pacific.
Okay, I will definitely have to go find that. It's right up front on your blog. There's a post called How to Profit from Your Blog.
That's
guest
right.
Post. On DeniseWakeman.com, and I had noticed that, so definitely something I got to go check out for sure.
Yeah, so and that's really important because Amazon's not the only game in town, and the Nook e-reader is starting to really get some traction and giving the Kindle a little bit of a run for its money. So why wouldn't you want to have your content on both sites? There's some people who probably don't like Amazon just because they don't like Amazon. So they buy their books on Barnes & Noble. Well, if your stuff's not there, they're not going to buy it. So,
well, it's no different than the answer to the question of which social network should you be on, Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn.
Right.
You need to be where your prospects are, not where you feel like hanging out.
Exactly.
If you only want to use Facebook, know that that means you're going to miss people who only use Twitter and only use LinkedIn. It's no different than that discussion.
That's correct. You've got to have a presence everywhere. It doesn't mean that you have to be, spending hours a day on each site, but you do have to have at least a presence and connect with people, at least a little bit, so that you maintain awareness. I mean, that's a big thing, is maintaining a presence so people are aware of you on any given at any given moment when they're on those sites.
Just like anything else, out of sight, out of mind.
Mm-hmm.
So there are, no matter what niche you're in, no matter how teeny tiny focused it might be, there is competition out there, period.
Yes.
If it's a niche that you can make money in, somebody else is in it already, I guarantee it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not out there and really maintaining a visible presence all over the place, somebody else is going to be doing it instead of you.
That's
and
right.
And they're going to build the relationships, and they're going to get the prospects turned into customers, and you're not. Simple as that.
That's right.
Yep. I have got to tell you about a new tool that I am finally releasing out of beta and into the public that you are going to love.
Okay.
It's called My Instant Video.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really based on the premise of repurposing your content.
Mm-hmm.
So what it does is you post a text-based article to your blog.
Mm-hmm.
It automatically converts that text into an audio in any of about 20 to 25 different voices, some male, some female,
mm-hmm.
some with American accents, some with UK accents.
Mm-hmm.
You get to choose which ones you want.
Mm-hmm.
It then adds to it a choice of music if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can choose the background. You can upload your own. You can pick a color. You can pick a template of about 20 or 25 that we've included. You can pick the font, and it takes your text-based article, first turns it into an audio,
mm-hmm.
then takes the audio and creates something akin to a PowerPoint slideshow that becomes an MP4 video,
mm-hmm.
and it turns the audio and the text into a video.
Mm-hmm.
It puts an icon at the top of the blog post for an audio content reader and one for a video content reader.
Mm-hmm.
It then assembles all of the audios into an audio podcast and all of the videos into a video podcast. By the time it's done, there are four feeds for your blog. The
mm-hmm.
normal RSS feed that would have text and images,
mm-hmm.
a multimedia that would have audio, video, text and images, an audio podcast, and a video podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You can then use your audio and video podcast to submit them to iTunes and get
mm-hmm.
a video or audio podcast out there.
Mm-hmm.
You can get it onto other podcast directories. You can download your MP4 videos, their high-def videos, and upload them to sites like YouTube and Vidler. It is one powerful tool. What's great about it is when you post to your blog and it automatically converts it to audio and video,
mm-hmm.
the minute you've posted to your blog, you now have three entries in the search engine, not one
mm-hmm.
for that blog post, because it will index each creative separately.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been able to take keywords with over 50 million competing pages on Google and get multiple first-page rankings for all of the different creatives with as few as two blog posts.
Wow. I'd love to see this,
unbelievable.
This tool. This sounds fantastic.
AskGGG.com/MIV special is where you can see the beta special offer. It's about a week away from being out there in the full release version of it.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes out, it will be a $197 a month membership site
mm-hmm.
that will get you 30 video conversions and 30 audio conversions per month. Right now on the beta special, you get a six-month membership for $497.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a big savings. It's over a 50% discount.
Mm-hmm.
And then permanently, anyone that came in as a beta member will be able to get a permanent 50% discount, so that instead of a $197 membership fee, it will be $97 a month for anyone that bought in this early.
Mm-hmm. So what's that URL again?
AskGGG.com/MIV for My Instant Video Special.
Okay. I'll go check that out. That sounds like a great tool.
If you want to do a webinar with your subscribers as we get ready to release this starting next week, we can set something up so you can get it as a JV partner without having to pay the $497. So just let me know if you want to do that.
Okay. Let me take a look at it. That sounds like a great tool. I mean, it sounds like it does everything that, you know, people are doing manually now.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Rhonda's using it on ProfitableStorytelling.com,
mm-hmm.
so that's a good place to check it out.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see in her sidebar that she has a widget, and it's a My Instant Video widget, that has a list of all four of the feeds that she has.
Mm-hmm.
So you can find that right there. And then if you go to any of her posts, at the top of each one, you'll see the audio content reader and the video content reader. Oh, where did I put that article? I've got a great article that gives you examples of sites using My Instant Video, but I can't find the darn thing. When I find it, I'll let you know what it is.
Sure. Wow. Okay.
It's around here somewhere. It's really slick. I am so happy with the results. We've been beta testing this for a year.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It came out in May of 2010, so like 13 months now. I was adamant that when we released it, I really wanted to make sure that all the bugs were out of it, that we knew a process that could be used for doing all of this stuff,
mm-hmm.
and making sure that it was completely bug-free.
Right.
So it really has come a very long way, very, very quickly, because we were able to bring so many beta testers together to figure out the process.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you know the name Don Crother.
Yes.
Well, Don Crother recently just released a video called His Video Proliferation Strategy. You'll
mm-hmm.
find it at askggg.com/Don Video.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was listening to that video when it came out this past Friday, I was like, you know, what he's really talking about is a part of what My Instant Video does,
mm-hmm.
as well as a few other things that you can do to really leverage the power of video.
Mm-hmm.
So I went out and created a flow chart around a combination of what My Instant Video already does and what Don was doing within his video proliferation strategy. If you go to askggg.com/video strategy, askggg.com/video strategy,
mm-hmm.
you will find the article, the flowchart. It'll
mm-hmm.
actually download that flowchart. And it has a 20-step process that is a combination of what My Instant Video already does,
mm-hmm.
as well as what Don talks about in the video proliferation strategy
mm-hmm.
Video. So if you want to look at that, you can find it at those two links. The article is askggg.com/MIV article, and that'll give you some examples of sites that use My Instant Video and what they've been able to do in the search engines as a result of My Instant Video.
Okay, I'll definitely check it out. Thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. When I saw you were doing so much with repurposing, I knew you'd love it.
Yeah, because, that's the one thing that can take time is making all those conversions, and I think that's what stops a lot of people from doing it.
I think so, too. And, you know, especially if you're getting into audio and video,
mm-hmm.
the technical issues that come up for folks is usually the thing that takes them out and forces
right.
them to not do it. They
right.
can't do all the technical stuff. Heck, ask me to edit a video, I wouldn't even know where to start, right?
Right.
I don't do that stuff myself. I hire people to do it. But if you're just getting started in your business and you don't know how to do it yourself, you don't always have the money to be able to hire people to do it.
Exactly. Exactly.
So anytime you can automate it and get a good result with the automation,
mm-hmm.
it is something that's really a great way of getting around it without needing to know how to edit a video or how to edit an audio to create your own stuff.
Exactly, exactly. And that's the thing, is if you can get your content out there in multiple formats, then you have a greater reach and you have a greater opportunity to connect with more people who want their content. They want to consume their content in different ways.
Mm-hmm. One of my other favorite repurposing tools is a great site. If you go to askggg.com/blog book, I'm sure you've heard of this one. Basically, what they do is they let you pull your RSS feed into their tool,
mm-hmm.
and they use the articles of your blog to assemble an ebook for you. And for
right. is
$15
this
bucks.
Is this Blurb?
I don't think it is Blurb, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've seen some tools like
it's
that.
It's something like
really...
Blurb. I know of Blurb.
Mm-hmm.
But it gives you back a PDF of your ebook based
mm-hmm.
on your blog posts. and they even do the cover for you for 15 mm-hmm. bucks.
That's pretty
so
good.
So you take that and you go up and put it onto Amazon for Kindle or Barnes & Noble with Nook. Pop
right.
it in there for 99 cents. Wow, what a great way to get an ebook of your own without
yep.
having to write an ebook of your own.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, great tool. Yeah.
Yeah, anything like that. And with tools like Create Space, you can even turn it into a print book for
mm-hmm.
free just by uploading it to Create Space and letting Create Space handle the printing on demand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, great way of getting leverage for
yep.
the content that you're writing for your blog, which goes back to what you said earlier. Get started just writing your blog.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about getting the pages and the products put together. Just get started writing your blog posts.
Right.
And those will turn into the products you can sell, do them in audio and video, and they can be content for a membership site. You know, so many different ways of repurposing that stuff.
Exactly. And that's the key is everything that happens on the web, it's all based on content. You know, there's just no way around it. You have to be a content producer. You have to be a publisher. And the best place to start publishing is on your own blog that's going to attract people to your home, your home base, and which is the foundation of your empire, really. So that's the key is just get that content out there. Start writing, and then you can start integrating these other tools to convert that content into other formats and start building your product base from there. And, I mean, that's the whole key, exactly what you said.
There's another group of listeners on this show who are mostly offline businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a brick-and-mortar store, a restaurant, a whatever, don't think that this doesn't apply to you because you're not online. This all applies to you as well, even though you have an offline, more brick-and-mortar type of business. Even offline businesses should have a blog and should be using these same strategies, right?
Absolutely, because their customers are online.
Yeah.
You know, it goes back to what I said, nobody uses the Yellow Pages to find something anymore. When I'm going to a spa or to a restaurant or to any kind of boutique or to get, you know, new glasses or whatever it is, I look it up online. You know,
yeah.
That's where I go first is I start doing my research online. So if you're an offline business, you need to be online so that you attract the right customers to your door. I'll do my research first, and then I will go to the physical location.
And so many people who have offline businesses get sold by web developers into big, beautiful flash-based websites that
mm-hmm.
don't really have content. They
right.
just have pretty pictures.
Right.
And people aren't going to find you if that's what you're doing. It's
that's
not
right.
going to work.
It needs to be content-based. It has to be a place where you're demonstrating your expertise and what you offer, how you serve your ideal client and customer.
Yeah, I mean, especially for offline businesses, more and more people are using cell phones and PDAs to find the offline businesses
yes.
that they want to go to and do business with. And if all you're doing is putting up a pretty flash-based website, they're not going to find you on a cell phone or a PDA. Heck,
nope.
Most PDAs can't even open flash files to start with. They'll get a big red X and that's it.
That's right. Well, just, you know, I know our time is probably getting close to the end, but I just released today, I haven't even announced it yet, so this is my big announcement, I guess, is that I have a smartphone app now for all my content. So you can.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's available for the Droid, and it's in queue for the iPhone, but there's a workaround to get it on your iPhone, or if you use Google iReader for your homepage, iGoogle for your homepage, you can get it there, but it's at denisewakeman.com/app, and you can take a look at it there. And so it aggregates all my content into one application that you can get, you know, widget gadget that you can download to your phone or install on your phone and have, you know, access to video, all my blog posts, my Twitter feed, And it's developed for people who have businesses. So there's like a splash screen.
Can I ask what you did create that?
It's some software that I was given access to, and I'll be announcing that in the next week or so.
Oh, could you email me when you get that?
Yes, I will.
Wow, my people would go nuts over that, and I would love something like that for my content as well. That's awesome. Wow,
yeah.
This looks really good.
Yeah, it's a great it's a great tool. So it just got loaded to the Android market yesterday. So
wow, was it hard to create the app?
Nope. Really fast.
Oh,
and easy.
Even better.
Yeah.
Even
yeah.
better.
Yeah.
Well, definitely let me know about that. And
I
is this
a
tool you'll be selling?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Well, I definitely want to know about it when that happens. And
okay.
I will get you details on My Instant Video as well.
Yeah.
Man, imagine if you could use My Instant Video in connection with your blog so everything turns into video and then you use this to get an app for it.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah. It sounds like a good combo. So
yeah,
really
yeah, good combo.
But, I mean, that's the ultimate, is getting your content on people's phone because that's where they're spending their time now. It's mobile.
Yeah, it really is. Well, Denise, thank you so much for being here today. I really enjoyed having you as a guest. And
it's
if I can
pleasure,
do anything
Gina.
To help you in the future, please just let me know.
Okay, well, I think we're going to be connecting around some new things real soon.
I think so as well. And again, for our listeners, you can find Denise at Denise Wakeman, that's W-A-K-E-M-A-N, just like it sounds, DeniseWakeman.com. And go check out her application for Androids and iPhones at DeniseWakeman.com/app. You will love it. Thanks again. And Rhonda and I will be back next week here on Relationship Marketing 101 on Blog Talk Radio. So have a fabulous week, everyone, and we'll see you back here next week, same time, same place, on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks
Blog
again,
on.
Everybody.
Blog on. Thank you,
Thanks,
Gina.
Denise.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101. Join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion-powered results.